Get ready for another life-changing, paradigm-shifting, faith-building word here at Fountain of Love Christian Center. We know that God will transform your life as you hear and apply His word. So let's tune into the message, Already in Progress.
So praise God. I have here Reset to Revival, but I always give a disclaimer. I am not bound to these notes. So just get ready to see what the Lord's going to say as we tap in today. All right, my first scripture, Hebrews 2:1 says, Therefore, look at the one said I. So it is, therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And so God is reminding us, and God wants me to remind you of the word that He has given to us over the last year, and that there is a reset that is going on. So reset is yet the word of the hour. And as I said before, I started looking and Googling and calling and talking to different ones. And this is what prophets are saying all over the world, because this is a global reset. Yes, you're resetting. The church is resetting. Your community, there's something going on all over the world, and God is in the middle of it. It may look like it's chaos. It may look like the devil is trying to orchestrate everything. But I promise you that God is in control of everything. Look to Him. Don't focus on what you see, the negatives and all that. That's not your focus. Your focus is God's answer to the negativities. And I want to say something to you. Some of those answers are in you. God's going to express answers through you for the lives of others. So God is resetting. And one of the we talked about, I'm just a review of some things we talked about before when we talked about reset, is set back the way it was. God is setting some things back the way they were. There are some defaults that God has in the body of Christ that will never change. There are some things that will never change. You know, like reading the Word of God. Reading the Word of God is something that we're going to always do. That's not going to, there's not something that's going to come and says, okay, you don't have to read the Word of God anymore. You can just do whatever you want to do. No, that's not going to happen. And there are some things God is setting differently. Okay, I want you to do it differently. Like right now, we're doing church differently. We're not doing church the same. We're doing church God's way. And we are on this platform, this media platform, and we are making it happen. Pastor and I was talking about it this morning, how this has worked. We're reworking the way we have done church. And so it's sort of a reset. It's like a God is taking His precious jewels, which the Bible calls us jewels, and He's putting us in a new setting. We're in new settings. God is making us look and shine in a new setting so that we can be attractive to the world that we live in. God is resetting the members of the body as it pleases Him. And so 1 Corinthians 12:18 talks about how God has set members, He has set members in the body as it pleases Him. You know, you can't set yourself in the church as it pleases you. I'll do this, but I won't do that. No, it's whatever God says that we are to do. Repurposing and redefining, giving things a new use. Some of us are doing things we never thought we would do. I never thought that I would be standing behind this camera the way that I am today. Some of our staff members, some of their functions have changed, have been redefined and repurposed to meet the needs of the time that we are in, to meet the need of the seasons that we are in. God spoke to me about 4 years ago and told me that we're going to enter a new epoch, and it was going to begin with the presidency of President Trump. And certainly we have seen some changes, and this has been a new day. We've seen a lot in the last year, the social injustice protesting, all of the shootings, the big chaos at the Capitol building just a couple of weeks ago. And then we just received a brand new president. So a lot of things are going on. And what God does with us, He adjusts us to the season. He graces us. He strengthens us. He informs us. He makes us tough so that we can get through this. You don't realize how tough you are until you come to the close of, you're like, I don't know how I did this. Well, you really didn't. You did it in the strength of the Lord, because the Bible says that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. So if you're feeling a little weak today, remember his strength is made perfect, and you grab a hold of it. How do you do that? By faith. I receive the strength of the Lord right now to get through this season. Well, I'm tired of being inside. I'm tired of wearing a mask and all those different things. God's gracing you to get through this season, and he's leading us out of it. We're not going to always be in this place. We're going to be moving out of it, and you're going to say, wow, you're going to have to wear your t-shirt. I made it through COVID. I made it through the pandemic. Well, actually, the pandemic made it through you. Glory to God, because we're the ones in charge. What we need for a reset. Some of you, you've been resistant to your reset. You just fortified in your houses with your food and cookies. I hope you went through the fast. That's my prayer that you did. That's why Pastor said, probably said some of us need to maybe extend the fast a little bit. I won't be joining you on that one. I did all my fasting already. Praise God. And I've already had my first piece of fried chicken. So glory to God. So but anyway, because I try to obey God the first time. He said, this is the fast I have chosen. And so sometimes we choose our own fast. You know, people be eating all kinds of, I won't fry the shrimp, I'll boil them. No, that's not the fast that he's chosen. We sent out the fast that was chosen, that we believe God chose for the church. Glory to God. So when we're going through a reset is not always comfortable. As we look around us, we see that this has not been the most comfortable time. You know, we're not saying whoopee every day we get up. Yay, it's another day of the pandemic and the COVID is right outside my front door. No, that's not what's happening. But God is using this time. God will use a pit situation like he did with Joseph, and he will bring you out of it, and he'll make something beautiful out of it. What the devil meant for evil, God will turn around for good. So you've got to know that God's going to use this for our good as he's adjusting us, positioning us. We talked about last time how God is repositioning people. God's relocating people. God's promoting people. There are people that are going home to be with the Lord, and God's going to need people in their positions, especially those that had apostolic, prophetic, or leadership gifts. They're going to need. We have successors. God had to raise up successors to take their places, but they have to be ready to take the position. You don't just walk into some of these positions. You got to be ready. God has to develop you. And so he's tweaking us. I know he's been tweaking me. He's been talking to me, things that I hadn't even seen about myself. I says, wow, I need to change that. I need to tweak that. I need to work that out. And it's been good. I feel better about me, and I'm sure the Lord feels better about me too. All right? Glory to God. So Romans 12 and 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable, somebody say, service. Service. This is for service. This is, you know, it's about your Christian walk, but this is really focused on service. And so many times we just focus it on the Christian walk, but he's talking about serving him. And then Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And when I look at this, the word that God gave me is walking in the Spirit is like walking in the heavenly. God wants us to serve him with a heavenly mindset. And then verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And so many times you hear people's mental, how they think this word, what this word is said. But when you really do the word study, you're going to really be surprised. As a matter of fact, I did a whole teaching on this, and I'm sure it's somewhere out there in our archives if you ask for it. But the transformed mind, it says, be transformed by the renewing. Now, we pretty much know what conform and transform. Conform is to another pattern, like we see the Democrats, believers acting like worldly Democrats. and believers acting like worldly Republicans. They're conforming themselves to a political pattern or political behavior and getting, they're becoming one with the world in that regard, instead of remembering that we are the body of Christ and we are the members of the kingdom of God. And with your transformed mind, you cannot operate in the area of being conformed to what's going on in the world. Transform, to change to another form, to transform, to be fashioned like Christ. So he's saying, do not be conformed. Don't pattern yourself after the world. And we can't even carry on God's gifts like the world does. Amen? Transform. So we're to be transformed and to be fashioned like Christ. We need a transformed mind to carry out the exact will of God. We need a transformed mind to operate the giftings and office in us, because when it goes on, Paul says, according to the measure that's in me, according to the grace that's in me, I am sharing with you what God is saying about your gifts. But he begins with, don't be conformed. I want you to be transformed. So we move to the one I really want to get to, and that's renewing. You notice that the word transform is a verb. Conform is a verb. Both of those are action. Those are things, the way we do something or how we do something. It's an actual activity that we carry out in our everyday life. But renewing, the word renewing or renewal is a noun. Isn't that interesting? Because renewing could actually sound like a verb, but it's a noun. And I learned about the word renewing when I did an exhaustive study on Bible meditation many years ago. And one of the things we found out when people, when the prophets would meditate on the word, they would begin to ascend. And they would begin to ascend to a place called renewal. And that place of renewal was called Ruach HaKodesh. It was the place of the Holy Spirit. And when they would meditate, like you saw when they were with Samuel and they were all dancing around and Saul came in and he started prophesying too, they had actually reached a place of ecstasy. And when they reached a place of ecstasy, that's when they would speak. They would speak out of the ecstasy. They would speak out of that place of renewal. So that renewing and that renewal is a position more than it is an activity, because when we decide that I'm only going to speak as what I hear, as Jesus said, I'm going to speak what I hear Jesus. Jesus said, I'm going to speak what I hear God say. So I'm going to act according to whatever God's word says I'm supposed to act. This place of renewal is actually a strength. This place of renewal is a heavenly position that we take in order to carry out our everyday life, in order to carry out service to God. So renewal is God taking that new successor and having him develop to the place where he can walk right into where his mentor left off. So with Elijah and Elisha. Elisha was ready to step right into Elijah's position and not necessarily do everything exactly the way that he did it, but in order to carry on that, carry that anointing in the earth realm. And we have generals that have gone home to be with the Lord, and God is raising up successors. I'm not sure if some of the successors are ready. I pray that they are, but God has been working. He works in us. He's resetting us for leadership. He's resetting us for promotions. He's resetting us to ascend. And so he's saying, don't be conformed, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. But that first verse says to make your body a living sacrifice. That's something you have to do. Making your body a living sacrifice is work. It's not one of the things I love, pecan chocolate clusters, which I pretty much craved all through the fast, but I put them in the freezer so I couldn't touch them. But I did grab one after the fast. I may have grabbed one right before the fast was over, but confession is good for the soul. But anyway, what are we doing now? We are in a place where God, we're in a Passover. We're still in a Passover place. We're still passing over. And I heard another prophet say the same thing. God had spoke to me about that about a year ago, back in March, last March. And we're still in that place of Passover. We're still in a place of thanking God for how he brought us through, and then thanking God for what he's getting ready to do. God has brought us through a lot, And now he's getting ready to do something new, and he's preparing us. So the reset is when we leave out of this Passover type season, we're not going to approach life the way we did before we went in. He's shown us so many things that are not going to be the same. And there are so many things that he doesn't want us to go back to. God does not want us to go back to some of the things that we made idols. God does not want us to go back to some of the things that we saw or did or even experienced. God is saying, I'm bringing you into a new place. I'm resetting you. I'm restructuring you. What is that scripture over in Isaiah said that, but that we're to expand. God is expanding us and preparing us for expansion. I know I've heard several pastors say their ministry has grown since the pandemic. It did not hurt their church growth and did not hurt things that they were believing God for, their building, their offerings. And so we see God showing us that he's able to sustain us, not maintain, but he's sustaining, because maintain is to keep the same, but sustain and even do more than what we would have thought of or asked or think. Amen. So we're living in a Passover season in that while we're in this quiet place, while we're being still and knowing that he is God, he's doing something supernatural. Some things we won't even know what he's done until we get out, and there's something that tests it or something that requires something from you. And some of us have already experienced that even with all of this platform ministry, you're finding yourself doing more than you ever thought you would do, or you're finding yourself doing something you never thought that you would do. And putting all these cameras together, and I'm looking at an iPhone and a couple of cameras here on me, and then they put all this makeup on me to make me look really cute so that I could talk to you and you could really look at me. And so, you know, none of us ever thought that this would be happening. But when God has the ability to show us what he is, what he can do through us when we don't have time to work it all out. Now, you have to be developed in order to lead. I do believe that. But there are some things or skills and talents that God is bringing out of you that's making a demand on what's already in you. God's going to make a demand on what's already in you. I know somebody's praying. And so he is reorchestrating. And there are some of your scripts in life are being rewritten. They're being redirected. You know, sometimes they'll take a movie and then someone else will come back and they'll do a remake of the movie and they'll make it more modern for the times. They'll add things that have to do with today so that the movie, like You Got Mail, that's from a spinoff from an old movie. And so they made it, they brought it in with you know, with email, and they made this movie to speak to the day that we live in. And so God has taken old traditions and God has taken old ways and rituals and the way we prayed before and how we did it. He's taken those things and he is renewing them. So when we take things to the Holy Spirit knows exactly what to do. The Holy Spirit knows how to direct us wherever it is that we need to go, whatever we need to change so that it draws people to Christ. See, because it's called the glory of God. The glory of God is always relevant. It's always relevant to the time you live in. It's always relevant to whatever you're going through when God is glorified. When God is glorified, it has an appeal to the soul. They're like, oh, wow, that's something I need. That's something I need to hear. That's something, you know, God's when God is glorified, somebody sees that there is something above the human ability. That didn't just happen because they're so wonderful. No, it happened because God's hand was upon it. He touched it. He put a little, you know, put a little something on that and gave it some awesomeness that says, wow, surely God was here. Surely God was in this place. See, that's why when we speak to you, we're expecting the Spirit of God to go into your home, to go into your life, to go into your family, and to bring the changes that are needed for you to operate in the transformed life. I don't know what I'm saying. These notes, sometimes they get all melted together. But God is doing some transforming. This transforming is happening. And to be trans, that word transform means metamorphosis. So they use the, always use the example of the caterpillar to the butterfly. He's taking this ugly COVID and he's going to make something brand new and beautiful out of it. They may not even recognize the church that we used to be, because God's going to do something brand new. And so this is called Pay, the year of the mouth, or the decade of the mouth. And so we're speaking from a higher place. The other word that they said about the year of the decade of pay was God was breathing. And you look how COVID has attacked the breath. And so, but God has a breath. When God breathes on you, it's nothing that COVID can do that knew anything about. See, COVID has already bowed to Jesus. It's not bowing to Jesus. It's already bowed to Jesus. And that's why we can walk in the assurance that God's going to keep us during these times, especially if we use a lot of wisdom. Amen. Glory to God. So that place of renewal, going back to the place of renewal, renewing. God is renewing. He's renewing our minds. He's renewing our attitudes. He's renewing our aptitudes. There's something supernatural. God can take you beyond your IQ. He doesn't need your IQ to do what he's going to do. Matter of fact, you have the IQ because he gave you that IQ. I prayed for people who had low IQ, especially had problems in math and science. Prayed for them, and they begin to excel in math and sciences. And so when we talk about renewal, God is going to, he's reformulating some things. And I deal with a lot of people who talk about reform, reformation. God is reforming things. And so when we get into the transformed mind and we allow God to renew, then we can see things more clearly. See, the transformed mind allows you to discern the work of God. It allows you to discern the will of God. What is God? Perfect will. There's a discerning going on, and it's a spiritual discernment. Why? Because your senses have been exercised by all the things that you've gone through and worked through. God uses all these things for his glory to make you the man and woman of God that you are and that you need to be. See, if we operate in our fleshly mind, we won't always see what God is doing. We won't always see that we have opportunities that we could have worked out. How many of you look back over your, you know what? I didn't even realize that was an opportunity. I should have said this. I should have done that. But if you were operating in the mindset that God prepared for you, then you would have seen it. You would have known it. You would not have missed that opportunity, because it allows you to discern what is that acceptable and what is that perfect and what is that good will of God. And that doesn't necessarily mean they're ascending in order. They all have different, totally different meanings than what we realize that they are. But we begin to clearly understand. What is it? Ephesians 1 that says he's given us the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and the understanding of him. And it says the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. So the transformed mind is the enlightened mind. It removes ignorance, because we're ignorant of spiritual things. He's not talking about an enlightened mind on the facts of life, or how many planets there are, how many stars there are, you know, how many states there are. He's talking about something that is out of this world. It's a heavenly mindset to put earthly things with spiritual things. How do they work together? How does spiritual things work around earthly things? How does earthly things, how do they synchronize with spiritual things? And where do we not bring the two of them together? Or how do they connect or collaborate? God is using all of these things through the trans. He's showing us all of these things through that transformed mind, which is something we have to work at. It's a work to keep your mind focused on the things of God. But the transformed mind will bring you and help you to be very keen on what God is saying about what he's called you to do. And it goes into, if you have prophecy, then prophesy. If you have teaching, then teach. The giver, give. Administer, administer. All of these different things that it goes down into, it's talking about doing these through the transformed mind. Sometimes we just stop at Romans 12, 1 and 2, and we don't go any further, and we don't understand that you can't understand your measure of faith without your transformed mind. You don't know what you really have. You don't really know your potential if you don't operate through the transformed mind. Through your mind, like the Bible says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. You'll be thinking you just this and a piece of cheesecake with strawberries. Ooh, and all the good stuff that go with it. But anyway, but I get to dream about food now because the fast is over. But what I'm saying to you is the fast helped with that. It really does. It does because it breaks yokes. It destroys burdens. When you're burdened down, you're not operating as clearly through your transformed mind that you need to. God had to come in and bring us a new mind. I hope Pastor get a hold of this and didn't he just take it and wear it out. But I'm telling you, this thing right here, that transformed mind, is one of the most powerful assets that the believer has because it speaks to everything. You understand that you have divine health through the trans. You have divine health. You don't have to work for it. It's given to you. It's already there. It's a heavenly health that comes with your kingdom of God package. When you got saved, you got a kingdom of God package. It came with peace, health, strength, and none of it is yours. It's all God that works through you. All right, that was bonus. I don't even know where I am. All right, so Passover. We're in a season of Passover. What happened with Jesus when they were in that Passover period? That was during the time when he was crucified, he died, and he rose. But in Acts 1, it says here, and 2, in the Amplified, I wrote it in the Amplified, until the day when he ascended, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had instructed and commanded the apostles, special messengers, whom he had chosen, to them also he showed himself alive after his passion, his sufferings in the garden and on the cross. So whenever you hear the word passion, it's talking about his sufferings and in the garden and on the cross by a series of, and these, I love this, many convincing demonstrations, unquestionable evidence, and infallible proofs. So while we're in this season of Passover, God is going to show himself alive like no other. And nobody else may not see it but the people of God. Right now, he's just dealing with us. He's dealing with you and me, meeting our needs, keeping us safe, keeping us healed, keeping our family safe, keeping our family healed, talking to us about us, working his will through us. Okay, I want you to change this. I want you to turn over here. I want you to leave that alone. God's giving instruction. This is an instructional period, so I hope that you are listening because you cannot reset without the proper instructions, and you cannot understand the instructions unless your mind has been transformed. Are you following me? Because I've been fought with this message. I'm not going to even go through what I've been through. But I tell you what, I got the victory right now. All right. And I feel my help, too. I hope you feel the help. Glory to God. All right. So unquestionable evidences. Unquestionable evidence means that there are things that God is going to make so clear to you what's going on around you that nobody can question it. It's unquestionable. Unquestionable. And nobody could have done that but God. Nobody could have helped you pull off prophetic zone like that, but God. There was nothing short of a sign and a wonder. Glory to God. And infallible proofs. So he was demonstrating. He was teaching them. He was mentoring. You're during this closed-in period, you can have your own personal encounter with God. God wants to mentor you and talk to you and tweak you. And bring the adjust you so that when you leave out of here, you're going to have your, we have our own Acts too, because after Passover always comes Pentecost. Always. Pentecost always follows Passover in the spiritual. So as it in the natural, so it is in the spirit, because Pentecost is going to follow. There is going to be, and all of the prophets and apostles agree, a great revival. We are on the precipice of a great revival and God is preparing. Remember, Jesus was dealing with apostles who were running. They were afraid. They were hiding. They didn't know. Some went back to fishing. You know, they went back to their old jobs. I'm like, I've been with y'all for 3 years and you don't went back to your old. What's wrong with y'all? But he, with all of his infinite love and mercy for us, said, come on, y'all come over here by the seaside and let's grill some of that fish you done went and caught and let's have a talk here. And he began to teach them, and he began to share with them so that they would be prepared for the day of Pentecost. We don't always, we don't know what all he said. He might have said, now, Peter, when the people speak in tongues, I want you to be the one to stand up. We don't know what all happened during that time, but we do know he adjusted them. He tweaked them. He prepared them for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I believe God is doing now. He is tweaking us. He's adjusting us. He's preparing us for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He's getting all these cameras ready. He's getting all the everything staged and prepared for his great day of glory. But that's because I truly believe that there is going, I've been saying it, I've been studying on revivals, and there is going to be a revival. And one of the things, one of the first signs of revival is that you know you need one. We need a revival, and a revival is going to touch both saved and unsaved. That's when the big net is going to be cast. Peter was getting ready to cast the biggest net yet, 3,000 in one day. Glory to God. So Pentecost always followed the Passover. Verse 4 says, and while being in their company and eating with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, of which he said, you have heard me speak. So there was instructions that Jesus said. Well, listen, my mama's birthday is going to be, you know, in just a few days. And so, you know what, Jesus, I'm going to have to take a ship right quick or a canoe right quick down to Capernaum and see my mama. No, Jesus said, you wait right there in Jerusalem. They had to obey his instructions. They had to understand how important it was, how significant, what a critical period they were in. When you're in God's time zone, you have to understand it. And some things you may have to leave alone. You can't change. You can't do. You know, my late husband and my son, their Saturdays is given to the word. Oh, we got a birthday party. Oh, we got this. Ah, God's given me to the study of the word. And sometimes people don't understand it, but the proof is in the pudding. The results is what we see when the word is preached. And so sometimes when we are called by God and we have, and none of us don't have the same measure of calling, you have to know your measure, and you'll know your measure when it's confirmed to you by the prophets, the apostles, and God will confirm it himself. But you discern it through what? The transformed mind. Say the transformed mind. I have a transformed mind. I will always have a transformed mind because I'm going to work at it. I'm going to stay in the place of renewal. See, we go back to renewal. Renewal is a place. Renewal is a location. Renewal is a station. You stay there. You stay there. You can start with a renewed mind day one. Day one. Transformation comes through renewal. Transformation comes through renewal. It's a decision. Renewal is a decision. I am deciding that I believe that this word works. And that's why we go back to renewal. Thank you, Holy Spirit. How do you have renewal? Through meditation. Meditating on the word of God brings renewal, and renewal brings transformation. So when the saints of old, when God says, meditate on my word day and night and you will have good success, there's something that happens. There's some type of interworking, some type of interacting that happens when you keep repeating the word and you keep repeating the word and keeping the word before you and studying the word before you. There's something happening inside of your mind. And you start seeing the changes, things, desires start changing, wills start changing. You start changing, and it's evident. It's going to be evident to everyone that this is a unquestionable evidence. This person changed. Oh my Lord! Why? Because what? They gave time to the word. What is it that David said? Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God. How do you hide the word in your heart? You hide the word in your heart by giving time to study and meditation of the word, and that's where God can say, I can use him. He can be Elijah's successor. He can be David's. He can be follow David as the king because I can trust the word that I have put in him. And what you keep meditating on the word, it becomes a part of you. You become one with it. You become familiar with God's ways. You become familiar with God's spirit. You know, when you study the word, there's an anointing that abides in you that helps you to discern when something is not the word because you're familiar with the presence You're familiar with the presence. Hallelujah. See, and God is calling for people to speak out of his presence. He's calling for people to serve out of the presence. The transformed mind helps you to serve out of the presence of God. See, his presence is right here, right now, speaking to you and drawing you in. Yes, because most people, they hear the prayer, I want the presence of God. Glory to God. And God will reassure you that I am with you and what I've given you to do and what I've called you to do. Because you were set in the body as it pleased God. Hallelujah. All right. I'm not the best follower of outline, but I know we're somewhere here. You're coming out of this. God says you're coming out of this. Do not allow the enemy to lie to you. Do not allow what you see to be what is. What is in Christ. You are in Christ, and so you are safe. You are in Christ, and so you have a knowing. There's a knowing in you. Tap into the knowing that Christ is in you, and you are in him. He's the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God's going to be glorified in all of this, whether it looks like it or not. I have here, Jesus wants to have an encounter with his church so they can have an encounter with the world. When Jesus got through with the apostles, they were no longer running and hiding. On the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and the 11 stood up with him, and he began to prophesy. We saw a revival touch every segment of life. Everyone that was there, they touched. Everyone that was there experienced the presence of God. They had come out of the presence of Jesus. They had spent, I believe, at least 10 days with him. And he mentored them and talked to them and probably prayed for them and exhorted them. So that when the day of Pentecost came, they were ready for the crowd. They were ready for the 3,000 to be baptized. They had somebody was an administrator in there that directed, okay, you over here, women over here, children over here, husband and wife over here. There was an anointing. Each one of you have an anointing. You may not be the one with the microphone, but you may be the one behind the scenes so that the person can hold the microphone. It takes an anointing. That anointing is understood and discerned through the transformed mind because you've been renewed by the power of God through his word and his anointing. Glory to God. So here we saw the kingdom of God change the darkness into light in one day. In one day, these apostles and the 120 were filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. In one day, they evangelized 3,000 Jews, and they baptized them in water. In one day, the first church, Christian church, was set up. They were set up. God can do something, and it don't take him a long time. Many times, the time is getting us ready. The time is getting us with that mindset. We're going to have a revival, and we need to get ready. You may need to put your food together and have it all organized in your pantry. So all you got to do is just go pick something out so you can hurry up and quick so you can get back to wherever the revival is happening. You know, you may think, oh, I'm just getting revival for the pandemic. I mean, I bought so much food, I couldn't get nothing else in my freezer, not another piece of meat. And my son told me, Mother, don't buy any more groceries. Anyway, that's why confession is good for your soul. So I am ready for the revival. Hallelujah. All right. So he is equipping us. Sometimes we think we're doing one thing for one reason, but we could be doing it for another reason. And I'm going to tell you something. I got some things at the bottom of this page I'm going to share if the Lord allows me to. But he's equipping us with the language of the people. What we saw on the day of Pentecost, they spoke the language of the people. They said, how are these people speaking in our own language? We know that these are fishermen. Now, they weren't dumb. Because when you do the study, every one of them knew the word. Every apostle that Jesus called knew the word of God, and they were Orthodox Jews, which means they were really strict in the following of the law and the word of God. And so, but they didn't know languages. It wasn't that they were ignorant. They were ignorant in languages. But God gave them the language of the people. How do we hear all of it? But see, that's what God's going to do now. He's raising us up, and it's already started. He's giving us the language of technology. Some people are going to raise, and they're going to just know what to say. We called in a job. Well, I've never done technology, but I believe you should do this, this, and this. And you're like, where did that come from?
See, because it's supernatural. It may be hard for your mental mind to understand that, but the heavenly mindset knows everything because it taps into the mind of God. Come on now. That is omniscient, omnipotent, knows everything, everywhere, all times, at all times. Hallelujah. And that's the kind of mind that he's trying to give you, taking the limits off of who you are and what you can do. That's what he told Moses. Hey, I can't speak. I can't speak. I stutter. I'm going to speak through you. Okay, take Aaron with you. He'll be your mouthpiece. I couldn't even imagine having somebody speak for me. I'd be Let me tell you. Let me tell you what it said. But see, but the devil will try to trick people to make them think they can't do, and the very thing that God is telling you to do. Don't you know he's powerful enough to help you get it done? If he called you, he equipped you. If he called you, he provided for you, or he will provide. Some of our financial dilemmas is because we are disobedient. All right, now. All right. The language of business, the language of science, and the language of the youth. You're going to need these languages. Different ones, I believe, God's going to use. If it's 120, there's 120,000 of us. We're going to be ready to speak the language of the day. They spoke what would get the people's attention in their day. God's going to use what is needed to get the people attention in our day. There's a great evangelistic push that is going to happen, a great evangelistic surge that is going to happen in our day. And God's going to use the technology of the day, the language of the day, to speak through us. But it's going to come with power. It's going to come with an anointing. It's going to bring a change. Our mouths, God's going to use our mouths to speak technology, to speak business, to speak science, to speak youth, or whatever it needs, to speak music. Do whatever he needs to do to speak through us, that is what he is going to do. But what we have to do is say, somebody say, yes, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord, I obey. Yes, Lord, I hear you. Yes, Lord, I surrender. You don't have to understand it. You just have to be obedient. When you say yes, he will give you understanding. He gave Daniel understanding. Remember, Daniel led all of the magicians that was of the devil and the men that were of God. He led them all. He was over all of them. Now, you've got to figure that out. But God knew what he was doing. And so if we're not operating through the mind of Christ, the Bible says, so we have the mind of Christ, we will judge things wrongly because we don't understand the operations of God because we're not discerning through his mind. We're not operating in his mindset. We got to operate in his mindset. Well, I don't think that. I don't feel like that. Well, I think this. That's the problem. It's your thinking and it's thinking. Your thinking is stinking. You need to get it cleaned up and perfumed by the word of God. God is refreshing our minds. God is renewing our minds. God is resetting our mind. God is replenishing. There's a replenishing because the enemy's tried to drain you and make you think, I can't do it. What's that for? Why should I have you all the mess that he puts in your mind? There's actually been an attack on the mind, your confidence. Well, we break that in the name of Jesus. The enemy has come against confidence, and I break it by the power of God because he said it. He said it, I believe it, and you need to receive it in Jesus' name. God is bringing reassurance. God is bringing confidence out of you so that you can hear him and speak it because this is the year of the mouth. This is the decade of the mouth. And as you speak, God will act. See, what we say, he said, you'll have whatever you say, but you have to say it so he can act on it. And if you say it being spirit-led, oh my, we're going to have some power around here. We're going to have some healings and miraculous, because the healing and the miraculous is coming. It may look like it's just sitting on our words right now, but I want you to know, honey, when it comes, it's going to come in full power. It's going to come, and ain't nobody going to be able to deny that we've been with Jesus. You got to spend that time with him. You have to have that encounter with him. So this is a long season of prophetic decrees, declarations, and of course, we have some warfare. We also see an attack on the mouth at the pulpit. So if we have to get that word out there as much as you can. There's already attack on the worship songs. So many of them don't have Jesus in them anymore. And we don't know if on Facebook they said, okay, you can stay on Facebook, but you can't say the name of Jesus. We don't know what they're getting ready to do. So we got to be prepared. We've got to build our own platforms. We've got to get our own streaming or whatever it is that we have to do to get the word out there, because we're smart enough and God's going to give us the language by the Spirit. There'll be some things that nobody knew, never knew nothing about anything, but God needed somebody. So he just rose them up. Hey, you can do it. Go. Get on out there. Throw them out there. I never did this before. That's what happened with Zechariah. And the angel said, I've come from the presence of God. And he's like, he said, okay, I'm just going to shut your mouth up before you mess up everything that I want to do. So here are things you may have been praying for and God sending you a word. I'm going to do exactly what you asked me to do. But don't speak against it. Don't use your mouth to speak against it. We must prepare the youth to lead. Lead. If they have to lead a church, they have to lead an organization or a corporation, we're going to teach them how to lead in this particular time and hour. And we need to understand that there's a spirit of manipulation going on and that God is getting ready to help us to discern where there's manipulation happening. So, Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. We thank you that in the mighty name of Jesus that we have an understanding of the times, that you will allow us to discern by your Holy Spirit. We will discern the times by your Spirit, by your anointing. We will operate in the transformed mind. You'll give us an understanding of that. And we are also praying that people will have a revelation, a fresh revelation of who Jesus Christ is, that is only given by the Holy Spirit. That you will reveal to us who the Holy Spirit is and how he operates in our lives today, and that we catch hold of that and we catch fire. We thank you that we must have a fire before we bring the fire. Bring the fire. Bring the fire. Ignite the fire. Ignite the fire of the people. Stir them up like never before in the name of Jesus. Bring those personal encounters in the night times and in the early wee mornings. Oh, when no one is moving about, I'm leading you. I've been leading you out of that bed. I've been leading you out of your comfort zone to be stirred by my Spirit. I'm changing and I'm rearranging. I'm adjusting. I'm perfecting. I'm in a season. This is resetting, is a season of perfecting. God's perfecting your gifting. God's perfecting your delivery. God's perfecting your song and your music. God's perfecting your talents and your gifts. And he wants you to come alive. See, the transformed mind causes you to see life and know life. This is the life of God. The spirit around us is a spirit of death. But in the midst of it, we are the resurrected people. We have the resurrection power and the resurrection anointing upon us that causes us to shine in an area of death. We are the life. We speak life around death. We speak life to death. Hallelujah. You just got to say it with your mouth, and then God can act upon it. He will respond to the words that you speak, because you're his daughters and his sons, your sons and daughters. He's speaking to you and he's speaking through you. So, Father, we just thank you for the breakthrough this morning. Breakthrough. Breakthrough in your house. Whatever you need this morning, we speak an answer from God. We speak the life of God and the peace of God by the power of God. I said by the power. Receive the power. Break all dullness in your house. Break all slothfulness in your house. Break it up. Break any arguing, division in your house. Break it up. Break it up. Break it up. Hallelujah. And take on Christ. We take on Christ in the name of Jesus.
God bless you. This is Pastor Jaron Christopher O'Neill. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but I trust that this message has touched your heart and reached you at your point of need. I pray that God will continue to minister to you as you meditate on this word. Remember, you can build your faith by hearing in repetition. But right now, I'd like to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Please repeat this prayer after me with all the faith you have in your heart. Let's begin. Dear Lord, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I realize I have sinned and I cannot save myself. So I put my faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. I believe he died on the cross for me, and the blood he shed washed away my sins. I believe he rose from the dead and that he's coming back again. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart to be my Lord and Savior, and I make a commitment to live for you. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, according to Romans 10, 9, and 10, you are saved by confession of your faith. So now it's time for you to get planted in a church home where you can continue to grow. So I would like to invite you to worship with us at Fountain of Love Christian Center every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. To connect with us, please visit us at www.allinthefountain.com. And to connect with me and get more powerful messages, please visit me at www.jarronceoneal.com. That's JarronceOneal.com. Listen, I look forward to seeing you soon. But until then, remember this, everything you need is in the fountain.